Go for Growth Show, powered by Beepo.
All right, hello everyone. Welcome to this episode of the Go for Growth Show. My name is Mark Engelman and I'll be your host today. Very excited to have with us Ken Fowler, the Managing Director of the B-Series group of recruitment companies. Ken, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mark. How are you?
Very good, thank you. Very good. So, Ken, from what you've told me, you've had a pretty fast and furious journey over the past 10 or so years. In that time, you've grown five million-dollar businesses. Can you tell me about where you started and your journey to building those five businesses?
Well, I fundamentally started at the bottom. The businesses are executive recruitment firms. And my introduction to that was going to a job interview with an executive recruitment firm. And turns out it was quite a funny story. This was in 1999. And they said, there's this new concept that's just come out where people are going to build lots of garages on industrial blocks of land and people are going to use them for storage. And we're looking for a business development for the manager for that. And I thought to myself, well, that'll never fly. I don't want to do that. And they turned around at the end of the interview and they said, have you ever thought of being a recruitment consultant? And I hadn't, because I thought it was human resource based, and I'm a salesman and business developer. Mm. But when I spoke to some of my mentors, they said, no, it's very sales orientated. It's very much about negotiation. So I started as a complete newbie in my very early 30s doing that.
Yeah, great. And then so did you start employed as a recruitment consultant?
Yes. I started working for a company called Bond Recruitment.
Yep.
And after 2 years was promoted from a recruitment consultant to a team leader. I was still recruiting. And then after another 2 years, the owner of the business turned around and said, I would like to open a new business, and what I'm proposing is that we do it on a 50-50 basis. I'll provide the working capital, and you can provide all of the sweat equity, is, I suppose, today's term. And within 2 years of opening that business, the new business, Barclay Recruitment, was the same size as Bond Recruitment.
Yeah, wow.
I was given a book as a Christmas present from a friend called The E-Myth by Michael Gerber. Which I read and was absolutely enthralled about how entrepreneurs work and think. And the thing that really struck me from that was the Pareto principle, the 80-20 rule, that you're going to get 80% of your business from 20% of your clients. So I thought, well, this is simple. We just have to open up five firms and we'll have 100% of the market, which was a novel idea at the time. And actually, you know, we did put it into place, but we never got 100% of the market. But that's another story. We did do very well.
Yeah, fantastic. And so from Barclay Recruitment, you grew the other four businesses. Is there a thinking behind the five brands?
Well, people ask me, why do they all start with the letter B? I'm not a creative. I'm a mechanic, so to speak. So I make systems and get them to run as fast as they can. We went to a advertising agency who said, if you're going to start a company, you should start it with the first three letters of the alphabet and make sure that it's a recognisable name so people can immediately give you some sort of credibility. So Barclay is a bank. Valentine Recruitment came from a Scotch. Buckingham Recruitment came from a palace. Brazen Recruitment came from a character trait, I suppose, and B-Series Contracting is just it. It's B-Series Contracting. As we went down the path, the reason behind having the different businesses was, firstly, I promoted employees into the position of equity general managers so that we had an executive team there. And secondly, the business model runs best with between 12 to 15 staff. Mm. So it's the size of a football team, basically, Mark. And, you know, you've got your forwards and your backs. Someone's doing sales recruitment. Someone's doing engineering recruitment.
Yeah.
They can work off each other. And that's completely different to running a firm with 90 recruitment consultants in it. It's a whole different kettle of fish. Running football teams, not hard at all.
Yeah, right. Interesting. So you've said just before that, you know, you're a salesman. That's your strength. Do you have a particular philosophy when it comes to sales?
Well, there's a lot of them, but my philosophy is it's based on the quality of your questions, that you'll understand where the pain points lie. And this is the difference between tellers and sellers. A lot of salespeople go in there and they don't ask questions. They just tell them about their products or services, and at the end of it, you know, present them with a quote and hope they buy.
Yeah.
And, you know, the path to a sale is just that. It's about you shutting your mouth and listening to where your clients come from. So I spent the majority of my sales training teaching my staff and external sales training that I do, you know, how to ask really powerful questions.
Yeah, cool. And so how did you develop that philosophy?
Well, there's invention, there's imitation, and there's emulation. So it's really hard to invent stuff, Mark. It takes, you know, a lot of either brain power or a lot of luck. I didn't want to be a someone who just imitates someone else. So the emulation piece came around turning my car into a training room. I used to have to drive to Far North Queensland back every month and subscribe to sales books on tape, and I would listen to them over and over and over again. I'd already was a massive consumer of, you know, self-help books and stuff like that. To my friends, you know, great humour. They thought that was really funny. So it was a culmination of putting together everything from Brian Tracy to Zig Ziglar to listening to people that I work with that had done it in the marketplace. But the philosophy that really came home with the growth of the recruitment in businesses was you've got to ask questions. Every client's need is different. And, you know, you're employed as recruitment consultants, salespeople. You've actually got to sell something. You're not order takers. You're not administrators. You've actually got to ask the question, put yourself in harm's way. And by that, I mean rejection. Yeah. And sell something. So that's my philosophy. Get in front of the client, ask a lot of questions.
Yeah, cool. And so when did you, at what point in your career as a salesperson did you work out that you'd kind of nailed it, I guess, the sales?
I haven't.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
I don't think anyone ever does, but you know what I mean? Like you said that, you know, you teach people and you train people in sales these days, and sort of, I guess, at what point did you feel that you had the confidence and the knowledge in that area?
Well, fundamentally what I did was I was able to articulate a process, and this was the 40 steps in a recruitment process.
Yep.
And once I actually got that down pat, used it myself, so led by example, and then started training other people in it where the other people had that aha moment, you know, the constant phrase that I used was to turn around and say, well, bugger me, look, the system actually works. If you follow the system, it works. And that was interesting because, you know, 10 years later, I went and did some Jack Daly training. Jack turned around and said, when he's got 2,600 staff, he said, there's not 2,600 different ways to sell. There's one. Mm. And if you do it this way, you'll be successful. And that reinforced, I suppose, I wish I'd met Jack 10 years before. It would have saved me a lot of time and a hell of a lot of money.
Yes. So sales, I guess, is often something that, you know, some people are scared of. They don't like getting out there and pitching their ideas. And it's sometimes a skill that I guess is a bit underdeveloped in entrepreneurs and business owners, probably especially people that are just starting out. What advice would you have for someone looking to improve their sales skills?
That's very interesting. The selling skills that I promote, fundamentally, as I said before, it's the questioning skills. Mm. But you've got to get through that psychological barrier first. And the psychological barrier is, in a lot of cases, do worse things first. 10 before 10. Make those 10 prospecting calls before 10 a.m. If you don't want to do them, just get them out of the way. Just get them done. You know, it's a doing the worst things first philosophy. Yep. And the second thing is you've got to take into account there's very little competition out there of people who are actually getting on the phone at a senior level or a mid-level that want to find out about a client's problem. Mm-hmm. You know, they're expecting it all to be online ordering or whatever the case may be. I mean, one of the key things to the B-Series group of recruitment consultants is we specialize in markets. Every single one of those markets was started by me getting on the phone and saying, right, we need to have a market within the mechanical engineering sales arena. I'm going to go and find 10 companies that do mechanical engineering sales and create a demand, then hand it off to another consultant, and then have three or four consultants in different firms doing the same thing. So if your role, if my role, 50 to 60% of it was business development. It was about finding new customers, finding new clients, seeing if there was a big pain point, and then creating a demand from that pain.
Yeah, interesting. Cool. So if sales is your strength, what's your weakness, Ken?
I am an impatient person, and I am known for, I suppose, being distracted by shiny things, and also just putting too much on my plate, which means my ex-CEO taught me, fantastic guy. He basically said, listen, you got to remember, done is better than perfect. So put it in a priority, figure out what's the ones that you really need to get done and get it done. It doesn't have to be perfect. Not that I'm a perfectionist, but when there's so much on your plate, do the 20% first. And that was my weakness. It's now, you know, a great strength. But it's always the impatience. You know, I want it done now. I want it to happen. And in recruitment, that's a real frustration because our sales cycle is between, you know, 3 weeks and 8 weeks for someone to say, I need to find a person who, yes, I'll employ them, and now they start.
Yeah, okay, cool. You hear that from entrepreneurs all the time. I think a lot of the entrepreneurs I talk to, they say that the one thing that they wish they weren't is impatient, and they always want everything done when the idea pops into their mind, they're like, I want it done now, kind of thing. So it's interesting that you say that. So at one point, you know, with the five different brands, there were five separate companies, and you were managing all of those. Tell me about that and that experience.
That was probably one of the most educational times that I had, in that at that stage, I wasn't in EO, the Entrepreneurs Organization. I was in Tech, the Executive Connection. The Executive Connection, you can be a member without being the owner, managing director of the business. So you could be an employee, state manager, general manager, stuff like that. I got a lot of advice rather than experiences, and I ended up setting up an advisory board. So we had the general managers of the businesses on the advisory board. We had our accountant from our external accountant. We had a professional business coach, and occasionally we brought in other experts in regards to human resources, or marketing, or IT, or stuff like that. I nearly died of indigestion. Okay. And it wasn't until my CEO turned around and said, listen, you've spent a lot of time with this advisory board in the last year, and I think you've forgotten what we're here for, and we're here for the customer. So, you know, the advisory board basically took everything and said, let's look at internal systems. Let's look at HR policies. Let's look at IP. Let's look at premises. Let's look at structure. Let's look at finance. Let's look at this. And you know, while, yeah, you know, you have to consider them, my biggest learning there was, you know, let's look at the customer. And I ended up disbanding the advisory board. It was an expensive experience as well. Now, some people have great advisory boards, but mine ended up being exactly what I said. I nearly died of indigestion, Mark. It was a terrible experience.
Yeah, right. And so what did that teach you about, like, I guess, business strategy, that experience?
A lot of businesses that I recruit for or that I've been introduced to with other EOers, they're simple beasts. Mm. You know, they provide a product or a service, and that you need to, and once again, this is a plagiarism, you need to make the complex simple, and then you need to make the simple compelling. Mm. So, you know, in professional services firms, which is what I do, and it doesn't matter whether it's recruitment consultants, lawyers, accountants, public relations, you've got to break it down into bite-sized pieces so that the staff can consume it, and then also that they can, you know, they can sell it to the customers. So, look, yeah, business can be very tricky and very complex, but it shouldn't be. You know, if you take the 80% of everything you need to do, 100% of everything you need to do, and you only did 20% of the important stuff, your business would probably still do pretty well. So that was my takeaway for that experience. Only do a few things well, only do a few things and do them really well.
Yeah, cool. So we're almost at the end of the interview, Ken. What is your number one tip for business owners out there looking to grow their business?
Nothing happens until somebody sells something. And if you own the business, then you should be the number one, you know, fan, rah-rah man, cardboard man or woman, customer-facing person. Once you get your sales process right and you understand what your sales drivers are, and I'll give you a simple example. Within the 40 steps of the recruitment process, there are two major drivers. Number one is sending a candidate to a client so they can read a resume. Yep. Okay? And number two is then organizing a meeting between the client and the candidate. So we can do hundreds of outgoing phone calls. We can do, you know, dozens of interviews. We can go and visit clients, have coffees, build our database, do candidate pooling, all that kind of stuff. But at the end of each week, if my consultants have sent out the required number of candidates and then they've organized the required number of interviews between the client and the candidate, I end up with the bottom line that I expect. So those are my two sales drivers. And in my experience, as an EO accelerator coach and also with other EOers, if you understand what your, you know, two or three sales drivers are, and you focus on doing those, you know, consistently into a very high level of quality and delivery, the system basically runs itself. But not a lot of people really think around and say, you know, what drives sales? Sending out an invoice. No, that's an outcome. It's not driving sales. That's an outcome of it. How did you get to send out the invoice? So, I mean, I'm a salesperson, though. You know, you might be in a completely different industry or service sector or product sector where there's massive demand for whatever you do. You don't need to sell because people will buy from you. Wouldn't that be great?
That'd be awesome. Reminds me of the old saying, if you can't measure it, you can't manage it, right?
Very true. Very true.
So, Ken, have you lately used any technology, apps or services that have really assisted you in saving time or growing and scaling your businesses?
Look, I'd have to say no. I try to keep my technology consumption and the introduction of new technology to the business as simple as possible because we're in a people business. Yeah. I have a saying in the business, don't get killed by a techno cow. So there are sacred cows in the business, and one of ours is, you know, pick up the phone and talk to someone. That's the way you engage a candidate or a client. Techno cows are, you know, it's becoming an online recruiter or, you know, being email tough and stuff like that. So I try to keep it you know, to minimalize the technology in the business, because we're a, you know, people business.
Yep. Yep. What a refreshing insight, Ken. There's not many people that I talk to that say, nah, I'm not interested in the technology thing. So that's
Well, it's really funny. You know, you can sit there, you know, online doing all your stuff, working your apps, getting your plugins, stuff like that. But to sit down and be present with a client and ask them how their business, oh my God, you know, it's a release. And I'll say it again, as I said, Mark, there's not many people that get out there and do that.
Yeah.
I recently launched a new website, just a small one.
Yeah.
And the amount of emails I've had saying, would you like to, you know, consider my SEO services? Have you considered doing the branding? How are you going to do the marketing? Blah, blah. Do you know how many phone calls I've had about that? Nah. No one's picked up the phone.
Yeah.
And I'm just getting all these emails and delayed again. Holy moly, man. If someone actually rang up and engaged me, they might make a sale.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Totally. All right, Ken. Well, that's all I've got for you today. Thanks for your time. It was a great, great conversation.
You're welcome.
I'll talk to you soon.
The Go for Growth Show, powered by Beepo.